Today on Compassion Radio.
You know, we started collecting clothes because homeless would say, hey, do you have a jacket for me? Do you have shoes? Yeah. Do you have some more food? And at the beginning, you know, we were 26. I'm like, okay, maybe shoes, but do you have size 13? Probably not, you know? And then food is like, well, we start collecting food. And, you know, the long story short, you know, we get a phone call from someone. It's like, hey, I've got some food for you. I'm like, okay. He's like, do you have freezer space? I'm like, yeah, we have a freezer. He's like, no, do you have freezer space? I was like, well, we're going to buy another freezer. He's like, no, do you have a freezer? And I'm like, well, what do you got? He's like, I've got 22,000 meals.
Well, hello, and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Now, today's guest absolutely believed that God was calling him and his ministry team to buy property and build a ministry center in Poland. But when they tried to raise funds for it, almost no money came through. What happened next will astound you. Bram.
He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, right, Frank? Something I've been learning along the way is that God doesn't just bury money in pits all the time and wait for us to dig it up. He invests in his people, and they grow his wealth day by day. And by wealth, I'm not just talking about money. That metaphor of God owning the cattle on a thousand hills tells me two things. One, his kind of wealth is a living asset. Second, God's kind of wealth always involves the loving care of his stewards and the generosity of those faithful caretakers. God's people know how rich they are in him, and they're not afraid to give the wealth away when the owner says to. Today's story demonstrates both points. The answer to our guest's problem was not found in a method or a bank account. It was in the hearts of God's people in places unexpected.
Here's Bram with the third part of his conversation with the Foundation Bread of Life ministry team.
We talk a lot about multiplication being a scriptural principle. It seems to me like in context, though, what we're talking about is leverage. By getting something, investing it, and then using it as a lever to change things so that others will invest themselves as well. Other believers would come into the fold with us and multiply through their lives and become the leverage that moves things again. Now, Renier, when you went with Richard and his wife to begin this outreach, were you there as part of this first outreach to the homeless?
I was his friend. He did it. He was called, and I was encouraging him, but he actually did it himself. It was only after a few years that he asked me, as a good friend of his, you know, Renier, could you join us on the kind of supervising council for the foundation? Because we need some supervision, we need our financial reporting, okay? We need to have some stability, accountability within the foundation. So could you join? 2010, I joined the foundation and have been involved ever since. So over the last 8 years, I had a chance to really get to know the operations, the projects, the way of acting. And, well, the foundation as such has no secrets for me anymore. So, of course, I've been taking part every now and then in various projects, but I was not the operational guy. That's only something that happened since last January.
But along the way, Richard, seems like your example in doing something simple and selfless, but self-interested in that because Jesus lives within you, you want to do something to bring glory to him.
Yes.
So you want his name to be renowned. Where you're going. And he gives away things freely. You don't have much to give, but what you do have, you do give away freely. And you went to the homeless who needed it the most. You discovered the need in the country where you were, and it sounds to me like in the process you discovered what God had for you in Poland, period. That you wouldn't have known it had you not at least come as naive as you were, as willing as you were, but not knowing what to expect, or expecting the wrong things, perhaps, and being discovering what God did have for you. That transformation in you has power, because you're saying, I don't know what to say about why I'm here. God brought me here, and he just wants to say he loves you, and I guess I do too. You're discovering his capacity and compassion and emulating him. So God is multiplying the best of things through both of you, and of course, two are better than one at this stuff. So you have skills that God invested in you earlier. You are an organizer. You are an engineer, I guess.
Yes, civil engineer.
So you understand how systems work. And that includes people. So tell me now, if you would, about the work you're doing and how that work with the homeless has then morphed into other things.
has morphed into a lot of things. You know, passing out 3 cups of tea is very simple.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wish I just did that. But, you know, how God would have it, things would grow and multiply, just like you said. So fast forward to today, we work in 3 different countries, in multiple cities throughout Poland. So we work in Poland, and we work in Moldova, the poorest country in Europe.
Yeah.
And then we work in West Africa and Ivory Coast.
That's a perfect combination.
Yes, yes.
And I'm sure there are links somehow.
There's a link. So just like, you know, Tomek, you know, came and served, got involved in, you know, we call this thing discipleship. You know, you live life on life with people and you teach them what God's taught you. And they go out and do the same things. So we had a student come, because I also pastored an international church in Poznan. Okay. And it's a really interesting dynamic church. You know, at first when I was pastor in it, I said, this is great. You had people come in from all over the world. You got worship leader, you know, Sunday school teachers, you know, get the church built up. And then within like 4 or 5 years, they're gone.
Gone. Because they're internationals and they're there for a time.
Nobody told me that. So I was like,
come back. That's an emotional roller coaster.
Right? And so one of our assistant pastors is like, man, this is like building sandcastles. You build it and it gets washed away. And in that same moment, I thought for a second, and God just touched my heart. And he's like, wait, this is like really like you're building rockets. And you're sending people back into the world. And so we give a wonderful opportunity for internationals and also Polish people to be involved in Bread of Life and to engage and to learn. And so we had a guy come from Ivory Coast to the International Church, and he came on a scholarship. He had only like $1 to his name. He grew up orphan. His uncle raised him. And so he got involved in Bread of Life, and he started serving the poor and the hungry. And he's like, you know what? I never saw poor people before, because I was a poor person. I was hungry. You know, I needed clothes. And he's like, God just broke my heart. He's like, I want to go back to my country and go find the poor, help rescue the forgotten, and start with like clean water. He's like, but I really feel like in my country, we have this generational cycle of poverty. We can break this through the education and give them the hope of Christ. And so he's like, can you come to Ivory Coast? Can you help me? Can we work together to do something like this?
Cool.
And I'm like, whew, I would love to. And so we've seen that, you know, grow and develop into Ivory Coast. And we're seeing many, many people from the international church and also the Polish people saying, hey, can you come to my city? I want to do the same thing. And, you know, it's very simple to pass out a cup of tea. But I think the power is when you do it in Jesus' name. Because then it leads on to other things. Like, you know, we started collecting clothes because homeless would say, hey, do you have a jacket for me? Do you have shoes? Yeah. Do you have some more food? And at the beginning, you know, we were 26. I'm like, you know, I've got maybe shoes, but do you have size 13? Probably not, you know? And then food is like, well, we start collecting food. And, you know, and the long story short, you know, we get a phone call from someone. It's like, hey, I've got some food for you. I'm like, okay. He's like, do you have freezer space? I'm like, yeah, we have a freezer. He's like, no, do you have freezer space? I was like, well, we can buy another freezer. He's like, no, do you have a freezer? And I'm like, well, what do you got? He's like, I've got 22,000 meals. Like you, when you fly on the airplane, you pull back the tinfoil.
Oh, my goodness.
He's like, I've got 22,000 meals for you guys. I'm like, okay, great. So we called the other orphanages, other, like, churches. We're like, meet us here, you know?
Yeah.
So we distributed that, and then he'd call again. I've got 18,000 meals, or I've got 12,000 bags of garlic shrimp like you buy at the grocery store.
Tell me again how this all came through this person.
We talk to people and say, hey, you know, there was a food fair going on. And say, hey, you guys have any food you'd like to donate and stuff like that? And so this came about.
And having all this food, then we needed more contact. So we contacted the food bank, our local food bank. Yeah. Offering so much, you build a relationship. Yeah. So there's this cooperation. So on a regular basis, at least twice a month, we distribute a whole van of food to the poor, and when they have something special, they call us, we call them, and it's this cooperation that we can reach out.
And this is in your city of Poznan.
Yeah.
You're doing this primary work and inspiring others around the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold there for a second. I just want to mention, of course, that the thing keeps resonating in my mind is the sheep and the goats. Jesus separates them and says, you know, come into my kingdom, you who saw me hungry, naked, and thirsty. Every time I read that scripture, it's not so much about the people that said, when did we see you that way and not do this? And when did we see you and do this? Those questions are kind of incidental to me. I'm looking at the checklist. God's saying, these are the things that people need. You know, that's the first thing in the story. Naked, unclothed, needing water, needing food, needing to be visited in prison. So I think about all the times where you have the opportunity now to see these literal situations. you go right to the checklist and say, this is what pleases God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that he always enables the thing to be done that he wants done.
That's right.
He never sets you up to fail. He's not trying to make a fool out of you. Mm-hmm. He's trying to feed the poor.
Yes. Yeah.
And so he will enable you to do it. And you're finding new relationships that are helping that to happen.
Yeah. And it's wonderful that we don't have to look for the opportunities because, well, the poor, the people in need, the people we have to visit, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And because of the relationships that we build, people come to us and they ask, can you start a project there? Yeah. Can you assist us with your reputation, with your contacts?
And your credibility.
Credibility, yeah. Because we exist now for over 15 years. And that has done a good thing. We have been taking part in various projects. We had various grants from local authorities to European Union. So we have our name established.
Yeah.
And that helps to be trustworthy. And this gives us the opportunity to go there where we are asked. And that's something fantastic. We don't have to spend lots of time and energy in all whatever forms of acquisition. That we look for the place where could we serve. No, they come to us and they ask, we would love you to do a project in our town.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. And there's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
Every language and every people. listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Let me explore with you a couple of seconds about the problem of success. When you do a job well in ministry, and all of this is being done in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. but over a course of time, the system itself becomes pretty self-sufficient in that it has enough relationship to sustain the work you do with the poor. And then, as happens in many situations with many organizations over the years, it becomes a humanitarian effort mm-hmm. rather than a missional effort. So what are you learning about the tension between just meeting needs and keeping Jesus at the center of it?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that God's taught me, and God really, like, go back a long, long way, he really broke my heart. When I was 19, I went to Kenya and worked with street kids. And there was one moment where I was giving bread to kids, and I ran out of bread, and then I was reading the Bible. And, like, these kids, street kids, 4, 5, 6, 7, the 6-year-old, 7-year-old came back up to me. He returned his bread. Mm. And he's like, you know, can you just give me the bread of life? Can you just read Bible to me and give the bread to some other kid who's hungry? Wow. I thought, you know, 7-year-old said that to me. At that moment, I'm like, I think I probably would have taken the bread. You know, and so, you know, when Jesus says he's the bread of life, he really is the bread of life. And, you know, a 7-year-old taught me that. And so we named our organization Bread of Life. So we took that from Jesus to keep that the forefront of the ministry, to keep our focus. And, you know, whatever we do, like, in Jesus' name, just like the cup of water. So I think that's very helpful for us to keep that focus, and no matter what project that we do. Mm-hmm. And to see always God be faithful in that ministry.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, you know, my wife, I think she was going to kill me, because, you know, we went for 2 years originally, and, you know, the homeless are like, hey, well, do you have a place for me to live? And I'm like, no, you know, I don't even have a house, so we live in a flat. And so God led my heart to build a home, you know, for a transition home for homeless men to get back in society as a productive citizen. And so my wife and I looked at some property, renovations, estimated cost about $100,000.
Yeah.
So we came back to the States, you know, told a bunch of people about this amazing project, and we raised $50.
Wow.
You know, it's like, okay, God, that's it. So, but we weren't discouraged because awesome things were happening. People were coming to know Christ. So we come back to Poland. We're serving. The second year we come back to the States, and God increased that $50 900% in support funds, which $50, 900% is only $450.
Right.
900% sounds amazing.
Sounds great.
Right? But after 2 years of raising, you know, this money for a $100,000 project, you know, we only have $500. So we go back, you know, serving in Poland, working really hard, come back the third year, and we travel 10 different states trying to raise the funds, telling the stories, selling lots of crafts and everything, and we raised about $15,000. Mm-hmm. So, like, well, we're on our way, but 3 years, $100,000, we're never going to get there. And I remember sitting with my director in Tempe, Arizona, and I was like, you know what? This isn't working. It's not happening. And he's like, you know what, Richard? You know what God's called you to do? And I'm like, no, because this isn't happening. He's like, the only thing that God's called you to do, he hasn't asked you to raise $1 million or anything like that. He's only asked you to be faithful to him. Oh. So I thought, you know, that was really good advice. And so that very next week, you know, because, you know, missionaries, you raise support. And by this time, you know, my wife and I were depleted our savings to like $25 or check into $25. And someone gave us a personal check for like $5,000. Yeah. We thought, wow, you know, we didn't have a car. You know, we could pay taxes. We can get international health insurance. And but at that very moment, my wife and I, we thought, you know, it's not for us. Yeah. It's for the people that don't have even what we have. It's the people that need Jesus Christ. And so we gave that check away. And our director says, you know, if you're going to give that check to this New Life Center project for this home, you have to maybe call the family and have them redesignate, because otherwise you have to pay tax on it and other things like that. So he said, you know, could you call the family for us? Because I didn't know the family. And they said, yeah, we'll call the family and see if they can redesignate the check. So the family says, okay, we like their heart, but we did give to Richard and Brooke. But we would like to know more about this project, this New Life Center. So let's have lunch with Richard and Brooke and see if this project is worthy, and then we can give the funds. So we had lunch with this couple, and we told them what we were trying to do. And they said, okay, this project sounds legitimate, so you can have this $5,000. So we had $20,000 now. So we were really happy. Yeah. And so we said our goodbyes. But then the very next day, this family, they said, you know, God just really touched our heart. So we wrote another check for $80,000. Go and buy your property. So, like, when you ask a question, it's just like, it's just a God thing. So God's always been at the center of it. And I hope and pray, you know, we want to lay this foundation as expert builders that other people can build upon. So one day when we're old and dead and gone, you know, the ministry will continue.
In what order is that?
Yeah. But hopefully, like, this Christ-centered message of the hope of Christ will always be the forefront of the organization.
Can I tell you a very small thing? I've been doing business for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Never had this question, why are you doing this? Because it's pretty obvious.
Make a living.
Make a living. Yeah. Everybody knows that. Within those few weeks, 2 or 3 months, I've been serving as the director of Bread of Life. Mm-hmm. I've had this question, why are you doing this? Why are you going on fundraising? Why are you serving? Why are you changing a job? Why are you... This question is obvious, and I directly have the possibility to share, to put Jesus in the center. Mm-hmm. I explain, but we really want to give people hope, and not just a hope by humanitarian aid. No, we want to give them hope in Jesus, and that's something that drives me.
Yeah.
And all the time, there's this opportunity to share the gospel, to share the hope, and serving the poor. It's something, Jesus asks us to do, but also give us the possibility to share what's really driving us.
Yeah.
So for me, that's an incredible encouragement.
The passion. Yeah. Now, tell me about what is happening with the revival in Poland right now. How is this playing into what God's doing to revitalize the spiritual root of that country?
You know, it's amazing. Like from one side, just being there for people and loving them, where sometimes people have never seen or experienced love before. And then they go back to their family and they love in such a way. And the family sees the love of Christ. You know, when we bought this property, this New Life Center, we bought it in a village. And at the beginning, when we went there, I said, I need to meet with the village chief and the elders and just tell them what we're doing. And said, hey, that's really good. You know, what you guys are doing. But the fact, that you're not, Roman, Polish, Catholic, we don't want you here.
Yeah.
And so he said, okay, this will be fun. But we still continue to love and to share with people the hope of Christ. And Brooke, she would put together Christmas packages, like little shoebox packages for like the poorest of the kids in the community, getting school books, textbooks, and stuff like that. And so we really impacted this community.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.